The following is brought to you in association with and as a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Neckbreaker is officially brought to you by our friends over at ClickItTicket.com. They have tickets for thousands of events, including Judas Priest, WWE, Phantom of the Opera, Cats, NFL games, and even past alumni Andrew WK.
ClickItTicket.com is proud to offer our listeners a 5% discount off any ticket purchase. Just Google ClickItTicket, check out their selection, and add our exclusive discount code NECKBREAKER at checkout.
One more time, Google ClickItTicket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter the code NECKBREAKER at checkout for your 5% discount. And now, enjoy the show. Hey, thanks for downloading part one of four Full Tower Assault-themed episodes of Neckbreaker. I'm your host, Brian Thompson. If you're a first-time listener, we are a pro wrestling and heavy metal-themed podcast. We talk about both worlds and we drink a shitload of beer. Definitely check out our past archive. We have episodes with Suffocation, Hammerfall, Eric Bischoff, Andrew WK, Chris Jericho. You get the point. We're all over the place in the world of professional wrestling and heavy metal music, so definitely check that out. Big thanks to Shane over at Full Tower Assault for just giving us the opportunity to go out there and drink beers and make asses of ourselves all weekend. Just being able to interview bands and do exactly what we do, but in a festival environment, we really enjoyed ourselves. So thanks, Shane. To all the bands and friends that we met over the weekend, you guys are awesome. You made our panels an absolute blast. So I'm going to try to make this intro short and sweet. We did about 3.5 days of broadcasting at Full Tower Assault throughout the weekend, interviewing bands, doing random wrestling panels, day drinking, gorging on food, and just ripping it up all weekend. And we recorded a shitload of content over the weekend, and it wouldn't make any sense for us to put it all in one file. So what we're going to do is split it up into four even parts. So on part one this week, you're going to hear an interview we did with our friends over at Revocation. We hosted a pro wrestling tag teams tournament. We did a panel on the most underrated pro wrestlers of all time. Plus, we interviewed a band called Zymora out of St. Louis. Good dudes, and they were our neighbors at the merch tent on day one at Full Tower Assault. So we hope none of the episodes, none of the interviews or segments are going to be in chronological order. They're going to be all over the place. But we hope you enjoy the hogwash of just great interviews and good times. Thanks for listening and stick around.
We have Revocation, gentlemen.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hello there.
Fantastic. Welcome to the professional radio program known as The Neckbreaker. We are, we're a heavy metal pro wrestling show, so you get the drill. Revocation, you guys have been fucking busy. Really fucking busy. If someone has never heard Revocation, what track would you have them listen to first?
Oof.
There's got to be one song that's like, that's us.
I guess, I don't know, because I feel like our sound is so varied.
You guys kind of change over time, too.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, I guess Dismantle the Dictator is probably like our most well-known song.
Yeah.
You know, I think it kind of encompasses like a lot of different, styles and stuff like that that are in part of our sound.
Right, so like, what album was that off of?
Existence is Futile.
Ah, yes. So, like, you guys have been you've been around for a couple of years. You've obviously played a fuckload of shows at this point. Top of your head, can you think of one of your favorite shows and one of your least favorite shows? You got any shows that stand out to you? Like, oh, man, that, I don't know, just feels like a good memory show. Like, oh, that was so fun.
One of my favorites was actually really recently. We played Heavy MTL Festival in Montreal. And it was just super packed, like thousands of people there.
That festival's insane,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah,
always a good turnout up
there. Yeah, yeah, tons. It was like 10,000 people there, like tons of homies hanging out, just like broing down with friends. It was just a really good time.
They combined like two or three festivals for Heavy MTL, I think, this year, right? Or something like that?
Yeah,
or
it was
tours,
a lot of
say.
Great headliners, a lot of tours converged on that. It was, fantastic. Fantastic show.
That's awesome. Just playing to that many people, good times. It's Canada. What the fuck,
yeah.
You know? What about you? Have you had a favorite show at this point?
That is definitely one of them. I remember London with Cannibal Corpse being a really good one. That was Halloween, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a Halloween show in London, which
London, London, or London, Ontario?
London, England. But right. Yeah, that's a fair
London,
question.
Japan.
That's a good question. I mean,
yeah,
you were just talking Canada.
I thought you were doing shtick.
No, you thought I was pulling a rib or something. No, yeah. I figured you were playing Canada. Maybe it's the same tour.
Yeah.
I know geography. But,
was it Ontario, California or Ontario, Canada?
So that London show just stood out to you as just a good show, right?
There was a lot of people there, and it was just a wild night. And yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, good times. Like 2,000 people there. Like Jesus. I think it was sold out.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you could have a really good show with 30 of your friends, and you know that could be your favorite show in a basement, but it helps. It's nice to have that many people watching you too, you know what I mean? It's not all about, oh, it's only our best show because there were 10,000 watching. That just it's just a nice to have, you know what I mean? You know what I'm getting at? So, all right, so our show is half heavy metal, half pro wrestling, and I've been drinking for a while now. I'm starting to get drunk. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of professional wrestling?
Spandex.
That's right. We haven't had that one
I
yet.
I can't wait to place
no,
this.
It's usually like a really obscure 80s or 90s wrestler. And yeah, it's good that someone just remembers the tights. You know?
Right to basics.
The trunks.
It's part of my favorite part.
Oh, Jesus. That's Seagram's. Good Lord. Sick. What about you? Is there professional wrestling?
I missed the question.
Oh, that's okay. It sounds like I'm louder than I am. I'm listening to myself. Professional wrestling. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear the word professional wrestling?
Intensity. Theatrical intensity.
Theatrical intensity. That's... You guys are getting right to the basics here. You're right. Everyone's like Papa Shango or Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
It's like Beefcake. Oh, yeah, I don't know anything about wrestling. I remember Papa Shango and, you know, well done.
Right. Nice fucking grab there. This goes back to you guys being on the road a lot. What album is in your van right now?
I know.
Oh, for me, I've been listening to the new Ghost record a lot.
That just dropped like a month ago, right?
Yeah, I think a little less, maybe a couple weeks ago. Yeah,
I think it's a step up from their second album, their second full length.
I think it's the best thing they've ever done. It's like really like the production's awesome. Like songs are super catchy, and like they have like just tons of riffs on them. I think
it's got a good repeat value. You can just keep that on loop a couple of times.
Yeah. I've been listening to the Dub Trio. Another Sound Is Dying. They're a really cool band, and Killing Joke. I think it's called the Death and Resurrection Show, and it had Dave Grohl playing drums on it. It's a really fucking sick record. Ooh.
Dave Grohl drumming for another project? You don't say. Unfucking. Did you say Dave Grohl? Did
yes.
I hear that? Okay,
yes.
Right. I was just making sure. Yeah. Dude's so fucking busy.
Fucking S&M's louder this time.
Yeah, right.
We've done every interview through S&M, and now it's hard.
Yeah, the sound guy's, maybe his hearing's all thrown off, because the vocals were cranked during Noisem, and now he's
nothing
just like, oh, let's just crank.
But this fucking version of S&M.
Yeah, right. Revocation, do you have, it's such a cliche question. Do you have any advice to give new bands starting out in 2015?
Just try to be yourself, try to find your own voice and music rather than trying to follow a trend. And just, you know, practice your ass off and get out there and tour if you really want to try to make some waves.
Right, just don't just, hey, we want to sound like Revocation. We want to sound like, you should want to sound like 1,000 bands. You want to make your own sound, but have a lot of influences, but...
Do what you like and like what you do.
Exactly.
Andrew WK has never said a better thing than
who?
That. Who? You asshole.
Who?
What about you? Any advice to new bands starting out in 2015? Because I'm sure it's tougher than ever.
I mean, I like what he said. Do what you like what you do. I don't know. Just don't...
That quote
you said the other day really, really made me think about doing stuff like... why should I have to stoop to please the masses?
Oh, yeah.
Rather,
Milton
I should
Babbitt.
set a standard in which they to which they should aspire to.
Yeah.
I like that. Just about, it's more of a personal freedom to do what is actually inside of you, kind of thing. You know. Right. So
rather than writing music to please other people, you have to write music to please yourself first and foremost, because that's what music is. It's a, you know, it's an artistic expression. It's an emotional. Right. You know, release. So if you try to curtail that to like what someone else might like, then I think, you know, you're always going to sort of
fall away from what you could be doing.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too is trends come and go. So, you know, what's hot now might not be what's hot, you know, 5 years from now. So if you just sort of stay the course with your own vision, I think you'll have more success in the long run, or, you know, at least be more fulfilled at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
I feel like the goal is to make a band or an album or a track that you actually enjoy listening to. If you enjoy it, don't try to write music to, like, oh, maybe this whole group in the room here will enjoy it. Like, just try to get it over with yourself.
It's refreshing. Right? It's refreshing to hear, like, actual advice, though, instead of just being like, don't, you know? Yeah. Everyone just says don't.
Actually, yeah, you guys are the 90, first.
90%. I mean, that's a given. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Go to college and get a job.
Yeah.
Knock up your girlfriend.
Yeah. There was already a Dimebag Darrell. We don't need to see more of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's cool.
But I mean,
it's
like,
cool to
have.
Pay
homage, you know? Yeah,
that's fine. But I mean, at some point, I think part of musical maturity is, like, understanding that someone like Dimebag, just, for example, someone like him, you know what I mean? Or someone wants to be Neil Peart from Rush. It's like, you see dudes who cop this style entirely, and they kind of, like, leave out the fact that everyone's different, and that it's more important to, like, cut your own style.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things Miles Davis said. This was one of his quotes. He's like, life, like music, to me, is about style or whatever. So, yeah, you don't need to...
Crutchduster said that, too.
Like, you don't need to act like someone else because that person's cool, you know what I mean? It's just more important.
Well, and no one's going to be better than cool Dimebag, dudes. You know what I mean? It's pointless to follow. Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it's great to have inspiration from them, but if you're... Like, no one's going to do it better than Dime.
Oh, of course.
So find your own voice, you know?
Exactly.
If we can get Crotch Duster on this show, I think that would be our final episode. We would legit just have to
I would make
things
them
up.
Do a live set.
Like,
I just want to, I don't even care about them playing. I just want to talk to them inside of Molly Brown.
Of course
Molly
you would.
Brown's.
Yeah, I knew you were going with that. All right, just a couple questions left. I think Gruesome's up next, right? No, Gruesome's not even up next. I'm not
sure. Yeah, they were just this big, and then they grew some.
That's cute.
That was a good
yes, it was.
Joke.
You've been on a lot of tour packages all over the fucking States, UK, and so forth. Are there any bands that you would love to tour with that you haven't yet?
Gorguts. Definitely.
Gorguts.
Love to tour with those guys.
Yeah. Their last album.
Napalm
awesome.
Death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Are they playing tonight? Napalm?
Tomorrow.
Or is that tomorrow? Yeah, right. Napalm's on this.
I've lost track of the set days for everyone at this point.
Yeah, we've been here.
You see obituaries like, oh yeah, this is supposed to play.
What about you? Any bands that you'd like to tour with?
Napalm
Death.
Oh,
you did say Napalm Death, right. I wasn't looking. I was looking at the audio mix. Other than that, Revocation, what's coming up? You're on tour now with Blackfest. I think Cannabis Corpse? Or?
It's Blackfest, Artspire, and Cannabis Corpse.
Yeah.
It's our headline tour, last tour we're going to do in this Deathless album cycle, so we're really pumped on how it's been doing so far. We've been out for a week. All the shows have been great. And the tour is going to continue on for another 3 weeks across the U.S. and Canada, so if anyone's around in other parts of the country, definitely come out and say what's up.
Google that shit. Great Scott, October 3rd in Boston, I think, and Alston. I got to say, I've been saying Boston here
all
week.
It's part of Boston.
Yeah.
That's fair, right?
Yeah.
That's fair.
It says Boston PD when they come to your house for a noise complaint.
Right.
So.
You would know. You would know.
Yeah, I sure did.
Revocation, your website's Revocation, just Google it, or I'm sure it's Facebook, Instagram, I'm sure you have all those. I'll let shit go down.
Yeah, we're on the internet.
Oh, that's a first. That Ferris wheel's moving?
Yeah, it looks like some...
Someone's just...
That's because our friends are making it go around.
Everyone listening is like, what the fuck are these guys talking about with S&M and this Ferris wheel?
Yeah, watch them go.
Full Terror Assault.
That's because Obstructor's going to fucking be assholes.
You guys have any other questions for Revocation, or should we go back to drinking some more beer? I think you had a guitar-related question.
I was just curious, because you were on Marty Friedman's album. That's fucking amazing.
Thank you.
Because, you know, I think you and I both are Marty Friedman guys.
Of course,
guys. Yeah. How'd that come about? Did he just, like, contact you and just went off, got a track, and recorded it somewhere else? Or did you, meet up with him? Or? I doubt you did. But I mean.
I got an email from the record label basically being like, hey, Marty wants to work with you on the next record. Basically how I became in contact with him in the first place is he was doing a solo record prior to that, and they wanted some press for it. So they were asking different guitar players, like, oh, do you, you know, give us a couple sentences about Marty. And, of course, I was just sort of gushing over him because I'm a huge Friedman fan.
Trying to keep it cool, of course.
Yeah, no big deal. So I gave him a nice quote, and I guess, you know, I was on his radar after that, and, apparently he really liked my style and stuff like that and wanted me on his record, and the rest is history. I mean, we went back and forth, traded riffs, traded ideas. We worked... It was all via internet because he lives in Japan, of course.
Yeah.
But I think we came up with a really, really kick-ass song, you know, kind of in a Megadeth vibe.
Yeah.
And he just totally tore it up. An interesting thing about that whole process was when I recorded my stuff, I didn't hear like the final like mix and mastered version.
Yeah.
There were still some things that changed, and I didn't hear any of his solos because I was just laying down the rhythm parts. So when I got it back, it like literally brought like a tear to my eye just hearing like the full final finished product. Because in Revocation, I mean, I'm there from every step of the way, so I can kind of hear it develop. With this, it was kind of like I did my parts and just let it go.
Yeah.
And when I heard the final product, I was just totally floored. And of course, Marty's playing on it is absolutely outstanding. It was really surreal. You know,
nuts.
One of my guitar heroes, like Dimebag. Won't get a chance to work with Dimebag, unfortunately. But working with Marty was just such a just amazing, amazing experience.
Awesome. That was the coolest thing. Blue and I were both just gushing over that.
Yeah, and the whole record's great too. And it's so cool that he. Work with so many different people. You don't see that a lot of times. A really collaborative effort across the board. So many different musicians. So, it was just a total blast, and I would totally do something like that again if the opportunity ever came
up.
Yeah.
Cacophony or Megadeth?
I'm gonna go with Megadeth. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to me, like my favorite playing of Marty's. I feel like he sort of came into his own. In the later years, the solos on Rust in Peace are, still to that day, some of my favorite
souls.
Guitar playing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's that record and like Vulgar Display of Power, for me, like are two of, like my favorite like guitar, records in terms of like solos and just how creative.
Yeah, the Muffled War
were.
Solo. On
yeah.
Vulgar is
oh
my
God.
Favorite.
Yeah, it's just gives you goosebumps when you listen
absolutely.
To it. So. Yeah, and he was super cool too, like a really, really nice guy, super humble, super down to earth, like not a rock star at all, like just wanted to write like a good song and
set off fireworks on people and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like you guys could have a guitar-only podcast. You just talk guitar for like 2 hours.
Yeah, people who just like metal and not like lead work are like falling asleep right now.
Me and you could do an episode about the big string.
And we're like, when he does that minor 7 flat 5 arpeggio in the solo of Symphony of Destruction, it's pretty cool.
You'll have 10 listeners, and all 10 of them will just be jerking off the whole time. They're just like, oh,
just
guitar.
Fapping constantly.
It'll be hard to hear the podcast over all that.
Oh, the faps?
Under all those grunts.
Is that plural?
The faps.
I've never pluralized it before. I'm uncomfortable with what I just did.
Fapples.
Oh, fapples?
Man.
Over all the fapples.
That's where we're going to wrap it up. Revocation.
We're going to scrapple it
legit
up.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you.
You got a busy
Thanks.
Month coming up. Have fun on the road. And we'll see you guys in October.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Oh, Jesus.
You listen to podcasts.
What?
Albums.
What?
Radio shows.
What?
GPS directions.
What?
And just about everything else. But why not listen to audiobooks? But where do you even get them?
You should start today with Audible. They have over 150,000 audiobooks with plenty of metal and wrestling titles, too. And they're all compatible with your mobile devices.
For a free audiobook download and a free 30-day trial, visit audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. That's audibletrial.com/neckbreaker. If you're smart enough to download and understand podcasts, I'm willing to bet that you already use Amazon to make most of your purchases.
But wait! Before you buy
Micro Machines,
support this podcast by visiting neckbreaker.net first and clicking the big Amazon logo on the right-hand column.
This button brings you to the standard Amazon site and you pay the same low, low prices. But we just get a small cut of the sale from Amazon to help cover our show expenses. So definitely visit neckbreaker.net first before any of your drunk and random Amazon purchases.
All right, guys, on our wrestling panel, we're doing a tag team tournament.
Tag team tournament.
Right. John, my co-host, Chris Casares, our senior pro wrestling correspondent. Josh, you
How's
are
going,
a pro wrestling fan. Welcome welcome to Neckbreaker. Thanks for coming out here at Full Terror Assault.
Thanks for being here yourselves.
Oh, thanks for being on, man. We're talking all things tag team pro wrestling. So what we're going to do is a kind of a makeshift short term.
Would that make the four of us tag team specialists right now?
Oh, jeez.
We're going to pick, each of us are going to pick two tag teams. We're going to build a quick tournament. And out of this panel, we're going to pick the best tag team from all of our choices. Start off with John. What's the first tag team on your list?
Tully and Arn.
Ooh, Horseman. Yes. Okay. Josh, I'm going to pass it over to you.
Man, it's real hard. Like I told you guys when I came over here, I mean, it's real hard to not say the Dudleys.
Oh, the Dudleys. That is a very good pick. Multiple tag team champions.
It's hard not to say it. Didn't write it down because I knew someone else was going to.
Elephant in the room, I guess.
The Brainbusters, the Dudleys.
I'll see your Dudleys and I'll raise you in Eliminators.
Ooh. Oh, man.
Was that the one you didn't think anyone was going to say? Because I thought about it.
All right.
I'm glad someone said it.
Total eliminations.
Not on the effectiveness of them being a good tag team, but on the peak of wrestling, I'm going to go with the Outsiders. Yeah, Hall and Nash.
I can deal with that.
That's a good one that I didn't even think of.
Hall and Nash.
But also, I just started thinking about it 2 minutes
ago.
So
we'll do one more round panel to mix things up.
Do you want to go backwards this time now?
Yeah, well, I'll just jump randomly.
You're going to go 12, 10, 11, 9.
I don't even know how to do that. But okay, Josh, you have another tag team that stands at the top of your head that we haven't mentioned.
You know, this one might be far out, but I grew up as a big ECW fan on the East Coast.
Of course.
And it's hard not to say Public Enemy.
Oh, Public Enemy. Wow. Good pick. I mean,
I loved the Public Enemy.
I
still have the WCW jersey shirt, by the way.
That's awesome.
You still have that?
I still have that.
Oh, good
That's
call.
That's a relic.
It is.
I mean, a team that made it to every company, too. I mean, I'm not saying they made it in every company,
Absolutely.
But they made it to every company. That's something in itself. Good pick, Josh. Let's see Chris, then.
Strike Force.
Oh, motherfucking Strike Force.
I you knew I wasn't going to say after we listened to Girls in Cars,
last
Dads
night,
in Cars.
Dads in Cars. Hashtag Dads in Cars.
So I should pick now to throw off the order, maybe?
Sure.
Legion of Doom. They're on our sticker.
Oh,
they're right there in front of us.
Of course.
Perfect.
Talk
about tag teams.
OD.
Right.
Because the Legion of Doom was going to go against Legion of Doom Light, but they could work. Demolition.
Oh, Demolition.
You hear that? Fuck you, New Age Outlaws.
You guys seem
that
like...
That was going to be my... If someone picked Demolition, I was going to say New Age Outlaws.
I guess you're not down with that then.
So,
Hashtag fuck you, New Age Outlaws.
And it's trending,
New
even
Age
though we're not live.
Jeez.
So, Chris, you look like you have this tournament down. I'm going to be looking at your cheat sheet here. So our panel has to pick between each of these brackets, between the Brainbusters and the Dudley Boys. What do you think, Chris? Who is the better tag team between the Dudleys and the Brainbusters?
I love the Dudleys, but I'm going Tully and Arn.
Oh, Tully and Arn.
When you're jumping on Tully, you're jumping on Arn.
Yeah.
When you're jumping on Arn, you're jumping on Tully. And when you're jumping on Arn and Tully, well, then you're jumping on me.
Nice.
I think I know where Josh is going
Just
with this.
Sucks
Dudleys
eggs.
Is his tag team, right?
You know, they were my favorite when I was coming up. I loved how... I mean, you look at the Heatwave incident comes to mind right away.
Oh, that promo.
You know,
oh,
dude,
God.
If only people could get that kind of heat anymore. I mean, obviously...
Was that the one where
we got a mom out here. It's our daughter to suck dick.
Yeah.
Cock. Yeah, two faggots in a Hawaiian shirt.
Yeah. Like, talk about a riot. Like, you get those cool heels. You just want to make, you know, friends with everybody. But, man, he wanted to start a riot there that night. And
absolutely.
Half the crowd was laughing, and the other half was like, dude... I'm ready to jump this rail.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you and in my eyes, if you can command a stage presence like that, I mean, I'll give it to you every
money.
Time.
Probably the most recent wrestler has gotten someone to actually get pissed enough at him to probably jump the rail or shoot him with a gun or stab him on the way out.
Didn't he end up spitting on some lady or something like that?
Probably.
We're in a rare situation, so I know John's vote. I didn't even really think of this. John's vote's the Brainbusters, and Josh's vote's the Dudleys. Chris's vote's the Brainbusters. And my vote's to Dudley, so we have to bring this down to a coin toss.
Okay,
oh,
so it's me and him. Do you want to call it? You call it. You're the guest. Call
oh,
it.
Oh, man. Put me on the spot.
Call it or near, Josh.
Heads.
I knew I wasn't going to catch
falls.
That. Heads, it is. The Dudleys moves ahead.
Dudleys. Don't worry. Chris and John love you, Tully and Arn. Tully
hey,
Blanchard,
I got nothing against
Tully Blanchard is getting the raw deal in wrestling retrospect.
Absolutely.
Wait, number of tag team championships they
I
won, though, alone.
I love cocaine just as much as Tully.
Oh, yeah.
I love cocaine just as much as Tully does, but but seriously.
Tully's listening, and he's not disagreeing. Okay, to our next bracket. What do we have? Demolition and LOD?
I was going to say Eliminators, Outsiders.
Eliminators and Outsiders. You know my vote. Outsiders got in there.
I picked Eliminators, so you two are sort of the...
Right ahead, man.
I'm going to pick the Outsiders because the fucking Outsiders. Diesel in Red was pretty cool the first time you saw it.
That was the peak of pro wrestling there, 97, 96, 98.
Changed wrestling forever, brother.
I got to agree. I got to go with the Outsiders.
Oh, the Outsiders.
I'll make it unanimous. If I got a vote on this, I would have picked the Outsiders over the Eliminators.
I'm surprised you didn't say the Outsiders.
Honorable mention, when the Eliminators wore those sparkly pink tights, was it Barely Legal?
Yes.
Good stuff.
Oh. I mean, they were great, don't get me wrong, but I mean, the Outsiders.
John Cronus had a hint of gay man in him.
Only a hint.
I mean, okay. I'll be the first to say it. I'm not the biggest Kevin Nash advocate on the face of the planet, but Scott Hall makes up for it, so.
Kevin Nash
Kevin Nash, after the fact, is really... I really like Kevin Nash right now.
I want to drink, like, two bottles of wine with Kevin Nash and just hang out. I mean, in the ring, I don't really want to watch it, but outside of the ring, I want to party with him.
I don't think Kevin Nash wants to watch Kevin Nash in the ring.
I just enjoy hearing his revisionist history on WCW.
It's great.
Yeah, talk to me all day about it, pal.
I was just trying to make the storyline make sense.
Yeah.
That's my Kevin Nash impression. It's not great.
Money, it's pretty accurate, though, I'm not gonna like
it. Look at the adjective. Play.
Play. That's a good Kevin Nash. Demolition and LOD is our next matchup.
Ooh, yeah.
Demolition and LOD. Oh, God.
I'm just going to vote on their theme music.
The LOD WWF theme music was pretty good.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Who picked the Legion of Doom?
I picked LOD. Obviously, that's my vote. So who picked Demolition? John did, right?
Yes.
So between Chris and Josh, where do you guys stand in this matchup here?
Let's get it out of the way. LOD was clearly the more over better team overall. But I'm picking Demolition because that fucking theme.
Oh, God damn it. Josh, are you? Do you have a deciding vote or do we have to go to a coin toss?
Man, you know, I love Demolition for, you know, for being what they were, but it's LOD.
Okay.
All right, so this is, do you want to know what the tiebreaker should be?
All right, so...
The tiebreaker should be that Bri didn't call them the Road Warriors, so Demolition wins. Because LOD sucked.
The Road Warriors. The Legion of...
Demolition had Crush version 3.0, so that goes right back to you.
How about John calls it in the air?
Call it John.
Here comes the heads, and here comes the heads.
Oh, tails.
LOD. So I'm completely eliminated from this. No dogs in the fight.
Sucks to be you. Well, all right, LOD advances, okay. And then...
this one's not even a question for me.
Strike Force and Public Enemy, right? Or the... That's the matchup we have, right? Strike Force and Public Enemy?
Right. I think you have to decide between Strike Force and Public Enemy.
Ric Flair's greatest wrestler that ever lived.
It's hard to disagree with that.
Yeah, really.
I will, but
can't
it's hard
to. Can't argue
with
that gentleman.
Hey, to be the man, you got to beat the man. He should run for president in that case.
Ric Flair is probably here.
He'll be dead before 2016, so.
That's true.
Wait,
go to the bank with it.
Who picked Strike Force, John?
No,
I did.
Chris, you picked Strike Force, and Josh, you picked Public Enemy.
Yep.
So it's down to me and John. John, I think I know your vote based on the Pile Driver album.
Oh no, it's definitely Public Enemy. That's the first 10 tables, man.
Legit, Public Enemy was in every company. I gotta go
American,
with Public Enemy.
When
Public
you put Riggs through
Enemy
that table
advances.
On WCW, my life changed forever.
Okay.
Wow. I thought you were gonna pick Strike Force.
No, we're not picking it on theme songs. Though the rap version of the WCW theme song that they sing, and then a good ECW theme song too, even though it was a real song. Here come the outstep. I'm the lyrical counselor.
This brings
us. Me and John are both eliminated.
Oh, it sucks to be him. So, we have our Western bracket.
You're on my side for all the other ones too.
I'm sure I'll get over it.
Our Western bracket would be the
Dubbies. Am I going over?
Am I fucking going over? Dudleys versus LOD, right?
Oh my god!
The Dudleys versus LOD, and on
actually, it's the Dudleys versus the Outsiders, and then LOD versus Public Enemy.
See, you're the tournament keeper here.
Yeah.
So Dudleys versus Outsiders, and then LOD versus Public Enemy. So let's go with Dudleys versus Outsiders. John.
Dudleys, because the matches were so good.
Oh man, they could work.
They were the. One of the most over parts of wrestling at that point. I mean, look at them now still. They come back and it's like they never left.
I'm going to pass it on to you, Josh. Dudleys or Outsiders?
Got to go with the Dudleys again.
Oh,
I
man.
Mean, again, you look at those spots that they did in the TLC series for, what was it, two, three matches?
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, those spots, I mean, you look, what, looking back almost 15 years, you
at
still
least.
Haven't seen spots even come close.
They hold up still. They definitely do. Hold up.
I'm going Outsiders. It ain't about the matches. It's about the miles and the money. And the Outsiders were the masters of not going anywhere but making the most money.
We're talking tag teams. Hall and Nash were better as singles. The Dudleys are your winner on that Western bracket.
Absolutely.
That brings us to our Eastern bracket, which we have LOD and Public Enemy. I'll start it off with Chris.
LOD.
LOD is my vote, too. That's who I, that's my horse in the race. So it goes over to John and Josh.
It's fucking Legion of Doom. Who am I kidding?
No.
I'm trying to think of every reason I can, though, legitimately say Public
every
Enemy.
Every cool, legitimate reason to pick.
I love Public Enemy, though.
Great team.
I didn't even think of it, too. That's the worst part.
They were good. I enjoyed Public Enemy.
God.
They have a lot of crappy matches.
So.
Who doesn't?
I mean, people that weren't.
Kurt Angle. Okay, big deal.
People that weren't in ECW at that time.
We are right at our finals here before the next
and
band.
And it's the way it should be, too. Let's get real here. This is the absolute way the finals should have worked out.
Before the next band starts here at Full Terror Assault in Cave in Rock, Illinois, I don't know who's up next. It could be our friends from.
It is.
Oh, they're up next. Cool.
Yeah.
Zimador. So, LOD, Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors versus the Dudley Boys. Let's start it off with Josh. I think we know where your vote is, but what do you think on this one?
God, every ounce of my ECW blood is screaming, and I'm going to be crucified like... All I'm thinking is Raven being crucified by Sandman at this point for what's going on inside me. Over
somewhere Kurt Angle's offended.
There's a lot of Kurt Angle talk in this tag team racket.
Oh, it's true.
Did he ever tag team with Shelton Benjamin's dick?
He tag teamed with Karen Jarrett's fat ass.
I mean,
and Jeff Jarrett. Eiffel Tower.
Oh, God.
No, if you have sex with Karen Jarrett, it's a tag team now.
Nice.
Chris Benoit, rest in peace.
Rest. Well,
here's the next Benoit.
We all like Benoit. That's a cool running.
Absolutely.
I want this guy to do that throughout the weekend. He just shows up every 2 hours.
Sometimes if he keeps
Chris Benoit is dead.
Yeah. He killed himself and his family.
Yeah.
Stevie Richards didn't die. Shut up.
My man, Josh.
I'm going to have to go Dudley's. On amount of championships alone in so many different promotions.
Oh, do you want a lot of championships, too? Ooh.
They did, and I'm taking nothing away from them because, I mean, the name itself, doesn't matter if you call them LOD or Road Warriors or whatever, they're staples, they're icons. I just, my ECW blood won't let me pick against the Dudley's, so I got to.
Chris.
All right. Here's my quick justification of what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I'm turning heel on everything I said about the Outsiders. It's about match quality. Dudley's.
Fucking heel turn. Harry?
So you obviously picked Legion of Doom.
Well, that's my horse, so that's why I'm giving it to you.
It's almost unfair because the Legion of Doom have been around for 35 fucking years at this point. And
well,
I mean,
25, because he, I mean...
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Hawk went the way of the fucking dodo in 2003.
Yeah, but you have the completion of it. Whereas the Dudleys they're on the back nine. Yeah, back
nine. Yeah.
Good one.
They're in their
but
golden years.
You haven't had a chance to think about everything they had done at this point and think of them in the same light as Legion of Doom.
Kane!
And then
Kane! Kane's alive, Undertaker! Kane!
It's the Dudley Boys, and that's not going to be so controversial in 10 years.
Dudley's.
Yeah.
So I don't even get a fucking vote.
No,
the
you got
Dudley
to the finals.
Dudley Boys advance to the finals. Those are... That's
welcome
the,
back to the big league, fellers.
Yeah.
That is the,
I'm glad to see you back.
That's the best tag team. That's the winner. That is our best tag
it's
team.
It's the best comeback going against the best thing that WWE's got going right now. So
for Neckbreaker Podcast.
Xavier Woods?
Yes.
Josh, we're going to be here all weekend. We're probably going to do other wrestling panels, so we definitely want you back on.
I'll be here all weekend. I'll be partying, drinking.
Yeah, you're going to be seeing us.
You'll be seeing us. We're going to get you back on for another panel. John,
just like The Undertaker every WrestleMania, even if you don't want me back, I'll be back.
You're booked.
Josh, I hope The Undertaker back every year for
Chris and John, this was a pleasure.
Absolutely.
Bada bing.
When you're done with this episode of the Neckbreaker Podcast, you've killed your family and friends and you've turned their teeth into a necklace, take a few minutes and head on over to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, ShiningWizards.com, available on Audio Boom, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and much more. ShiningWizards.com. Kill your friends and family, please. Compliments of the Neckbreaker Podcast.
We are back here at Full Terror Assault in Cave and Rock, Illinois. We have zero cell phone service. I have about 48 ounces of alcohol in me, and we're going to keep going.
I have none.
Good work, John. Oh, wait, it's that blue cup right there.
It's coffee.
Okay. Of course you made coffee.
I didn't make it. I bought pre-made coffee.
I think I'm on 50 ounces right now.
Good fucking call. Our wrestling panel.
Only 40 more ounces to freedom.
We're going to do a sublime panel.
There, pal. Yeah. Don't mess with my brother Laney or else you'll be in big, big trouble, yeah.
I know when the alcohol has gone up, when all of our levels have gone up. So
he's got a long wiener.
We're talking.
It's so big he can suck it.
We have our pro wrestling panel pack here. We talked about tag teams. The Dudley Boys came out as the best tag team of our wrestling panel.
And rightfully so.
We're not doing a tournament. We have 10 minutes between bands, and I've got a couple of drinks in me. Underrated pro wrestlers. What wrestlers do you feel do not get enough credit? I'm going to start off with John on the spot because this is your
idea.
Because
it was my idea, yep. And I'm the asshole. Well, my go-to move on that is usually Greg the Hammer Valentine because I thoroughly enjoy the Hammer's work. That match against Piper should go down more so in history than it actually does.
He kind of got his due in the very early 80s. He had the IC title run when the IC title was like a big, big deal.
When him and Tito were running?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His body was awesome.
You're right.
He had a good 80s body.
His elbow drop.
Yes, Greg the Hammer. I mean, like, always around, but never.
He had a good front flop, too.
They never gave him the.
He did have a good front flop. And he still rolls with the mullet, too.
Yeah, he never gave that up. Even when he's in Rhythm and Blues and he dyed it black, never gave it up.
Hunka, 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 honky love.
WrestleMania 6.
All right.
Honky love.
Maybe I'll shoot it over to you, Chris. Can you think of a wrestler that's underrated? Somebody that nobody ever talks about but deserves recognition.
Norman Smiley, the wrestler. We touched on this in some backstage yakking earlier that you didn't get to hear. But I always appreciated Norman Smiley's ring work. I was a fan. I'm wearing my Saturday 605 shirt. So I was a WCW Saturday Night guy for a long time in my early years of high school because I certainly wasn't getting laid.
That's why I tapped out of wrestling for a little while. I wanted to try the getting laid thing out.
That's why
good on you.
Pain in my ass is what it turned out to be.
I didn't have to. Does that make me better? Anyway, back to Norman Smiley.
That's why we started a wrestling podcast to get pussy. So
it doesn't. But Norman Smiley's ring work was really good, always solid. He wrestled in Mexico. I think it was AAA. It might have been CMMLL. I don't know.
Josh.
But we'll pass it over.
I'm going to buy Josh some time. And you guys may disagree with me.
If I talk like I'm talking to someone else on the mic, it sounds like we're important people talking, wheeling, dealing, kiss stealing.
Yeah, it sounds like, we're doing side deals here for other interviews.
And we're really just talking about fucking Norman Smiley and Greg Valentine.
Whoa, who? you mean a Norman Smiley?
All right.
Oh, you are 100% right. I'm sorry, Norman. It's no, Norman
and Norman
Smiley.
All right.
Underrated, and you guys are going to disagree with me, William Regal. Not enough recognition for what he does. I know he was given an opportunity 8 to 10 years ago, and he fucking shoved it up his nose.
I think it's what should have been, the IWC gives him too much recognition.
The IWC?
And then the
what?
General masses does not give him enough.
That's who I'm talking about.
It kind of evens out in the end.
Yeah, I mean, he's underrated for he can cut his own legs out from under his own body like 5 or 6 times. Yeah.
He kicked his leg from under his leg.
He kicked his leg out of his leg.
Regal
like
was
6 times.
Is such a good talent, and maybe it's his own doing, and because I couldn't think of anybody else, William Regal should have.
You should have said Dave Taylor is what you should have said.
That's such a fucking hipster response. Good Lord. Such an Alston answer.
Bobby Eaton.
William
Bobby
Regal.
Eaton? Was he a sir?
Triple H. I'm just naming Regal's partners in WCW.
I'm just trying to think of what his title was.
It was It was Lord William Regal and Sir Bobby Eaton.
Sir Bobby Eaton. And Jean-Paul Levesque.
Jean-Paul Levesque, you were right.
Mm-hmm. Or yep. What was his stupid name that he had for Kowalski? Terrorizing?
Yep.
It was Terrorizing.
Oh, Jesus.
God. Like raisin with a rye.
Josh, I know it's on the spot. John came up with the topic, though. You got any wrestlers that feel that need recognition but don't get it?
Scott Taylor.
You know, man, you took William Regal right out from under me.
Oh, did
and
I?
And, you know.
Oh, so, yeah. My answer wasn't too bad after all.
But, you know, I'm going to go to some of the other talk that we were having here before, and if any of my friends end up listening to this, they're going to laugh at me and make fun of me until the day I die for saying this, but Goldberg.
Whoa.
I'm on board with you.
Yep. I mean, I understand exactly where people come from and the fact that a lot of his matches were about a minute long. He came in, did about three moves, and walked out. It was like the original five moves of Doom, and any wrestling purist hated the hell out of it.
Got his shit in.
But he could carry. I mean, the guy was a draw. I mean, you look at the pop that the guy had when he beat Hogan for the title. It was unreal.
I mean, every fucking person in the world knew he was winning that title that night.
Was not the worst thing to ever happen to wrestling.
No, I knew right away when they announced on Thunder. Break. And when they had him wrestle Scott Hall before it, I was like, he's winning this belt.
This sounds
absolutely like
a malarkey and a bologna sandwich all into one. No, everybody at that point figured Hogan ain't putting a fucking anybody over at that point because of creative control.
That is very
Everyone
true.
Figured Hogan ain't putting anybody over, or it's going to be a DQ countout or a bullshit Nitro finish.
No.
And Hogan did the favors that night.
With the streak on the rise the way it was, absolutely not. I
knew he was winning that title.
No, you didn't.
I remember
14-year-old
Chris Kassaris, 17 years ago, remembers this day like it was yesterday. I remember watching it in my room. And because I didn't watch Raw that night. I watched fucking WCW. You better believe it.
And they stole
you better believe
they
it.
They stole those
ratings
that night.
That was my Lanny Poffo line.
Well done.
And yeah, I knew all the way Goldberg was winning. I was just waiting for it to happen.
I marked out.
No, I expected Hogan to pull a bullshit finish, double DQ,
I expected Hogan
it's
to
Nitro.
Screw him over at Starrcade.
Nitro screwed over everybody. Every ending of Nitro was a screw job sauce ending.
That's what makes it so awesome.
I'm doing a heel run-in. the background music between bands here at Full Terror Assault the entire time has been Queensryche, and this is the second time they have played Eye of the Stranger.
I
don't believe in love.
But that's okay.
I'm at 55 ounces of alcohol now.
How dare you?
How dare you?
All right, let's see. More underrated wrestlers until our next band jumps on Full Terror Assault. Chris Candido.
I'll agree.
Yep.
Chris Candido,
he had a real good gimmick going for himself in WCW.
Oh, yeah.
Where he would kind of beat himself up a little bit. And, like, he would say he could out-wrestle anybody and blah, blah, blah. But he would, like, kind of, like, screw himself over in the promos.
Yep. Yeah, I know where you're going with that.
But
yep.
It was his gimmick. It wasn't like he would just botch a promo.
Mick Foley openly admits that he stole a lot of stuff from him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, how's everyone doing so far?
You never not enjoy Chris Candido being on TV. You
know, but,
Lance Storm is very underrated.
Yeah, I remember, right? I ripped that one off. We were talking about that one before. That's kind of what started the whole thing.
We'll just shoot on any and all underrated wrestlers that we can think of.
Shoot.
Lance
this is a shoot, brother.
I agree with that. I appreciate his WCW run more than anything else.
I mean, I think everyone remembers Calgary,
Alberta
Canada. That pause.
Well, jinx.
I believe that.
Jinx, let's kiss.
Don't got to ask me twice.
We just did it.
No, okay. We did it. It's quick. I'm a quick guy.
Let's see. Trying to think of old WWF wrestlers.
Man, you got to go with Ralphus. When you need security, you call on Ralphus.
I knew you were going to throw that in there.
I think I have one for you.
Old WWF wrestlers that did not get enough credit, but unless you have something.
It's not old. I think I'm going a little newer than you're thinking of, but Shelton Benjamin.
I like Shelton Benjamin.
See, I always gave Shelton Benjamin credit, so I don't really know what everyone's opinion, because I knew he was the big match guy.
Right.
They kept him around for Money in the Bank for...
Maybe my bias is more about the Rumble, because he was always like the 30-second guy or like the minute and a half guy. He was never... Like, he never got, like, the real, like, Rick Martel 45-minute run, like, Miz
got.
He got a strong IC title run, didn't he?
He just did with his mama.
You just drove.
Come on, dude. He had his mom.
No, see, I'm living this one like in retrospect because I was out then.
They cut his legs from under his legs.
All right, correct me if I'm wrong here. Underrated, Rick Rude. He was
underrated in WWF.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Not in the Hall of Fame.
Been in every three of the big three.
They gave him the WCW title though, so I don't know. WCW knew what they had with him more than
anybody. He went over on the Ultimate Warrior.
But
at WrestleMania, nonetheless.
Yeah.
So.
No, I'm not talking about the companies. I'm talking about from a fan's perspective. Very rarely brought up in DVDs. No Rick Rude DVD. No Hall of Fame.
He died on 420. Blaze up.
And he loves smoking that dope.
He broke his back in 20 places.
Do not take
in Japan.
The Lord in vain in front of him.
From a fan's perspective, that name doesn't come up as often as any of the other WWF people.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I mean, I could at least see the.
You know where I'm going with that?
I don't know. I'm mixed on. I'm torn between.
No
it.
Hall of Fame.
He should absolutely be in the Hall of Fame. 100,000%.
Yeah, I mean, he did walk. He was on Nitro and Raw on the same day.
Only person to do it.
Right. That's what I'm. You know, he's
that alone gives you enough recognition.
Well, I wouldn't be shocked if Vince McMahon's like, oh, fuck that guy. Fuck that handsome, muscular son of a bitch.
He owes me weed money.
I wouldn't be surprised if Vince was always jealous of him because of how cut he was and, like, you know.
Dude. He was what Vince always wanted to be.
I could never grow a mustache because I had to be on TV as a commentator.
He had the mustache. People don't give him enough credit for that mustache he had in the 80s. Or the cherry curl he had. Ooh.
Dude, what man.
Want to kiss again?
What dude wouldn't want to be in Rick Rude shape? Like, he was in the best shape as a pro wrestler. I don't give a shit.
Wow. He told all those Atlantic City sweat hogs to keep the noise down. He showed the women what a real man looked like.
Okay, managers. Underrated manager.
Harvey Whippleman.
Off the bat. Wow.
Introducing Harvey. It's Harvey Whippleman.
His job would just be an annoying piece of shit.
Yeah. 92 SummerSlam.
Sherry?
Sherry's not underrated.
No.
Look at the queen.
She's in Hall of Fame.
Wow.
She's in the Hall of Fame and I'd still eat her out because she's dead.
No, I'm just listing off managers. Abraham.
Abraham Washington.
You know, absolutely. I was just about to say Abraham Washington.
I met him at Kowloon's one time when I was very
you
would.
I met
very,
him in a Colorado hotel
drunk.
Room.
Oh, man.
Was that your Tony Ellis impression?
I met two people, two wrestlers at Kowloon's. Abraham Washington, Al Snow. Al Snow, sweetheart. Love you, baby.
Wait, did you wait outside or were you inside?
I was in the bar and all the wrestlers were there. And then some of them left the private area where they were all just hanging out. And they just kind of mingled with like the normies like me. And Abraham Washington was a real nice guy. Al Snow was super awesome to me. Mainly because at the time we were twins.
I feel like... Why would you go to that Chinese restaurant from the Garden? It seems like a decent ride, you know?
Far enough away where we can get away from everyone. It's late enough at night where you don't have any kids to deal with.
Yeah, and that place gives them, like, the red carpet treatment. So.
It's like Ribera Steakhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
From all accounts, that place is a piece of shit, but they give you a cool jacket and they like you there.
Well, yeah. Who wouldn't want a nylon jacket from 1989?
They should start giving away jackets there.
Oh, they don't want that prestige to go away.
I have a good underrated wrestler.
Oh.
Paul Orndorff.
Ooh.
I mean the guy that was running with Hogan in 85 when he was white hot?
And then that's it? And then he kept wrestling until like 95, 94, 95?
I can't underrate him. That mustache, man. You
Wait,
don't have that. That's
dude, he
a,
still
that's,
has that mustache, too.
Dude, he just grew that mustache, and it is amazing.
Yes.
I'm 62
his,
years
his
old.
His music during Hogan's birthday celebration... They call me Mr. Wonderful.
All right, so there's two things about
that was awesome
about Orndorff that I remember more than WrestleMania are the pile driver on the concrete on Nitro. Remember that?
Where he fucked his
when the horseman fucked him up, and then the Dan Spivey promos. Where do you remember that? Where he didn't feel like he was wonderful.
No,
Dan Spivey was trying to hype him up. Oh man.
Okay, let's go with Dan Spivey.
Waylon Mercy?
Waylon Mercy, I was going to say.
Waylon?
He is just Mercy. Now becoming like the hipster wrestler, kind of
because
like
of Bray,
of the month
because of Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt's getting him over 20 years later.
Yeah, exactly. How about that, though? Vince came up with a storyline that was, like, really working, but it was just ahead of its time.
In that era, too.
How fucked up is that? That's awesome.
I wonder if this Frosttown belt this is why I love coming on. We were supposed to interview Frosttown. They were supposed to be our interview, but I don't know where they are. They're supposed to be playing now, and their drummer is MIA.
They weren't going over, so they left.
I think I finally got you on the underrated manager.
You got this,
Fonzie.
And
you know, you can hate me. You can hate me all you want, but any dude who loses a fourth of his blood in a match with a chick, I got all the respect in the world.
The old save the job.
He kept his job by doing that.
Exactly.
Oliver Humperdinck.
How genius of that was him. He's like, oh fuck it, I'll just blade 2 inches into my
forehead.
How
many sequins do you think he needed for that jacket?
I don't care, but Oliver Humperdinck, underrated manager. He should be remembered more fondly.
What did he do other than manage Bam Bam when Bam Bam was a dick and Andre hated him?
See, I don't know. I should appreciate Oliver Humperdinck more.
Bam Bam Bigelow got 6 figures for working with LT at Mania 11.
And he should have, because he organized that match and he put it over, and it was the main event of WrestleMania.
Six figures.
He should have.
He should have made
that sold
he
that pay-per-view.
Hogan made $1.8 million for WrestleMania 4 when he wrestled one match against Andre, and it was a double DQ.
Good lord.
Bam Bam put on a... It has some rewatch value to it, actually, which is kind of funny, like, watching LT wrestle now.
I've watched WrestleMania 11 recently.
Well,
it's watchable.
HBK and Diesel, and then your main event, right?
As bad as it is, I like the submission match.
Oh, even Bret Hart hated that match.
Yeah, he hates it. And I like it. Just because...
Bret Hart isn't always right.
Bret Hart is not always right, Chris.
Backlund, I'm agreeing with you. Backlund doesn't give up. He just goes, and the end of the match.
Nobody, all the clique were like, why is this old fart on the upper main event while we are on the main event as well?
Bret Hart liked working with Bob Backlund, though.
Diesel had to work with Bob Backlund for, like, months.
9 seconds.
Yeah, 9 seconds.
He had to work with him
all
for
the
nine
house
seconds.
Shows during that circuit, he had to work with Backlund.
No, he didn't.
I just read the book. Yes, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. But it's in a book, so obviously it's true.
See, that right there is why this podcast works.
Yeah. I just had a hard time believing that. I don't imagine Backlund rejoining the WWF to work 9 seconds a night.
Well, he did. Yeah, he did the Madison Square Garden. Diesel went over.
That's all I knew about it. That's the only match I ever thought they had.
Then Diesel worked Backlund for a couple of months after that on house shows.
No wonder that I didn't make any money.
Diesel's like, why am I working with a fucking 50-year-old?
These Bud Light limes, this shit is delicious.
He could have learned a lot with Backlund, but
he could have learned a lot with Bockwinkle too.
All right, so I keep talking about this book I'm reading. It's called The Titan Sinking, in 1995. WWF pretty much almost fucking went away, and every one of Diesel's opponents during the worst drawing year as a champion were terrible. He had to work with Mabel
at the SummerSlam.
Bob Backlund.
At the house shows.
Okay, he had Michaels for WrestleMania.
Okay.
He had, alcohol.
Did he wrestle Adam Baum?
You know what? He had Bret Hart, too. So he had two.
At the end.
No, he had Bret Hart at Royal Rumble. That was his first defense, right?
What? Sid.
Oh, yeah, you're
first
right.
First defense
you're right.
was.
You're right. 95.
So he had to work with Sid, Mabel, Backlund. So I'm not saying it's all Nash's fault, but on the other hand, they kept giving him opponents. It's like, no, you couldn't have made Nash look good.
Yeah, right.
With fucking Sid and Mabel. They headlined SummerSlam with Diesel and Mabel instead of a ladder match.
Do you know what sums up that era of wrestling to me? Psycho Sid spelled with an S. Just think about how much
and,
that
and this
entailed.
Is the final episode of Neckbreaker Podcast because we have said all we need to say. Goodbye.
Yeah.
we summed up the pre-attitude era. Does it have a name?
All right.
The new generation.
That's
the new,
legit yeah, you're right. The last thing I'm ever mentioning about that book because I'm tired of talking about it.
What's the who wrote the intro?
No. Talk away.
It's a good book. Jim Cornette wrote the intro for that book. So Jim Cornette
Thank
knows.
You. Fuck you. Bye. I may not express merchandise.
Jim Cornette's message about Vince McMahon alone made the book for me about how Cowboy Bill Watts comes in, and he's the new advisor for Vince McMahon. He's Vince McMahon's assistant.
You got to take the mats out of the outside of the ring. Them down WCW, they're the sissies. They need mats to follow.
So Cowboy Bill Watts is the usual authority, you know, the authority type. And he makes all the wrestlers stay to the end of the night. And of course, if the wrestlers stay, Vince stays. So at the end of the night, all the wrestlers just want to get the fuck out of there, and Jim Cornette, as usual, wants to hit up a drive-thru. Vince McMahon ain't the drive-thru type. He's a restaurant type. He eats egg whites, so Jim Cornette always complained, fucking Vince McMahon, we can't go to a goddamn Wendy's drive-thru. We have to go to a fucking Cracker Barrel.
Burger King microwaves everything.
You know what's ironic about that, too? He claims the WWF made him fat. Look, I'm a fat guy.
On the figure.
I'm aware of how this happened.
Wait, do you mean the figure or himself?
Himself. He made him fat. Like, WF made him fat, like, physically fat.
Okay, yeah.
Bullshit. This guy just didn't take care of himself.
He went to Wendy's every night after 2 a.m., you know?
Dairy Queen, fucking...
Dairy Queen.
They'll do it to you.
Yeah, no. I'm being honest here. I'm well aware of what makes you fat.
No, Cornette was saying...
I try not to do that shit anymore.
WWF made his figure fat. His pro wrestling figure was fatter than he actually was at the time.
Oh, yeah,
that's the claim.
Yeah, but he was gaining weight. Dude, 96 when he was managing Vader and Yoko. Sorry, dude. You were fucking eating some... You were eating 20 pancakes a morning.
Cornette was the Heenan of 1995. He was managing fucking... He was managing Quang at some point. He was managing Mantar.
Oh,
he was managing
Vader. This is like the million-dollar corporation rejects. These are like the guys who weren't good enough to wrestle Tatanka.
Oh, my God.
God. Well,
I got nothing.
I don't know where the next band is, Frost Tom, so we're... maybe we'll wrap up this underrated panel of pro wrestling here.
No, I think we can think of a few more.
Why don't we'll keep it going here. Underrated performers. Could be managers, wrestlers, women wrestlers.
All right. Well, I'll pick someone from a different federation. I'm gonna start. John. TNA.
Oh, the thing that I barely watched.
What do you like from TNA that doesn't get enough credit?
Jesus fucking Christ, you guys.
Think back 5 years and you'll be all set.
I'm trying to think of his name. Who pulled the gun on Jeff Jarrett?
Brian Pillman. He didn't do that.
The dwarf. I forget his name.
You are making him dig deep into it.
Josh, ECW.
Well, you did give him... You put him on the spot with that one.
Put me on the spot on like... Like, hey, what's your favorite Hatebreed song?
All right, any federation, go ahead.
Well, so now I got to think about all of them.
Your favorite underrated wrestler.
My favorite underrated wrestler.
Guy who never won the belt.
Guy who never got the strap.
Yeah.
Well, any belt.
World title.
World title.
Now that's a different ballgame. If you're talking to guys who didn't get the strap, you're talking Perfect. You're talking Piper?
Exactly.
AWA
champion. No. Mr. Perfect was a world champion.
AWA. So 20 people started on ESPN at 2 in the morning.
No, that was Rick Martel, and he was AWA champion as well, and that was at that point.
That's true. I'll give you that. All right. Were you talking underrated wrestlers?
Owen Hart.
Wrestlers. Owen Hart started to get rated. Wrestlers who should have got the belt. I'm giving you that. Owen Hart should have got the belt.
Yeah.
In 94, 95.
Cage match. He should have won the cage match.
Vince McMahon thought he looked too plain or too ugly.
He was hideous.
Owen Hart was an ugly dude.
He needed a facelift one way or another.
And I'm not a pretty looking dude. I'm just saying.
Shut up. Can we at least acknowledge that beautiful joke I just made?
It's well done.
I think you're very handsome.
Oh, all right.
We have an announcement here at Full Terror Assault. Frosthelm's drummer is apparently AWOL.
Wow.
Or RIP.
Wow, Frosthelm, we will interview you at some point to discuss.
Yeah, we'll get your other members in here to see what happened.
We'll get a shoot.
What they need to do right now is they need to pull a hoo.
Frosthelm's drummer is locked in a tipped porta potty right now.
Neckbreaker will always be a free show, but that's because we're covering the expenses. If you really enjoy what you're hearing and want to keep that ship afloat, here's a few easy ways you can help.
Buy some merch at neckbreaker.net.
You look good now, but why not look great wearing our shirt?
On your next payday, transfer a few bucks through PayPal to brian@neckbreaker.net. Every penny goes to our server costs.
Click the ads you see on neckbreaker.net. They're geared towards metalheads and wrestling fans, and they certainly help us pay those gimmicks they send us in the mail called bills.
And finally, be sure to check out all our friends and sponsors at neckbreaker.net/sponsors. They help spread the word on Neckbreaker, and we enjoy returning the favor. Thanks again, and cheers.
D&J from Zymora. You guys are based out of St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
Surprised I remembered that. I've been drinking lemonade-aritas.
There you go.
So when someone's vomiting fucking straight bile on the ground later tonight, you won't know who it is.
Yeah, it's probably going to be the cause of the mess.
Guy likes to party.
Lemons.
If you guys are on Full Terror Assault, we're actually here at Full Terror Assault in Cavin Rock, Illinois, one of our first events coming out. Going to be drinking beers all day. If somebody has never heard Zymora, what song would you recommend them hearing first?
All of them on our new EP, on our latest
Start
EP.
Start to finish.
listen to the whole thing.
You don't have one track that you'd rather have somebody listen to the full EP.
Got to listen to the whole
full
thing,
experience.
Man. Every song is different, and it's just all, you got to listen to the whole thing.
I agree with that. I say Desolation Solitude, though. That one's...
It's got everything. It's melodic, it's fast, it's heavy, it's got a slow part, it's got a ripping solo.
Yeah, you'll hear it tonight.
If you guys were like, I don't know, what bands could you kind of put in your genre? Like, what are kind of in your ballpark of other bands you kind of sound like?
I guess my biggest
influences would be
Emperor, Gorgoroth, stuff like that. Our drummer's a huge Mayhem fan.
Oh, so he's going to be blasting for 25 to 30 minutes tonight,
Yeah, we try to force him to do that, yeah.
A little bit of Behemoth.
Yeah,
gotta
definitely
get
some
little
Behemoth
death in there a little bit.
Gun to the head, you better blast for 30
exactly,
minutes tonight.
Yeah. Play fucking faster.
If all the shows you guys have been playing, we're just meeting you guys because you're our first interview for the day. We're sharing a merch table here. If all the shows you guys have played, I'm not sure how long you guys have been playing out for now, can you name one of your best and one of your worst show experiences? I'm sure you got a show that stands out like, oh, that show was so good.
I can answer this really easily. The best show was when we played at West Texas Death Fest in Amarillo on our first tour this past spring.
Oh, get the fuck out. West Texas.
And there was, like, nobody was walking around the stage area, and this place is fucking huge. But as soon as we went on, people, I guess, saw our fucking corpse paint, heard the keyboards, and the people just rushed the stage, and it was fucking incredible.
Yeah, I played that last year.
No shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
West Texas Death Fest. For which band was that for? Was that Parasitic?
Parasitic,
nice. Right.
Hell yeah.
So if that...
I think we headlined today, as in we played last. So we had a lot of people
Oh, the Slayer
there,
so. Effect, yeah. As John would say.
No, Slayer headlines, Parasitic plays last.
Yeah, right. So if that's one of your best shows, you got to have a show that stands out. Every band's got a show that's like, what the
a
fuck?
A snoozer?
Oh, boy.
Like, dog shit.
You know, it's not like, I wouldn't say we even did bad on it. It's just like, it was a new band that was touring and we opened for them. It was a shit show. Everyone was quiet like churchgoers.
We won't you name know, the band.
Yeah, won't name the band, but you know, the show is like, it was a... could have been a lot bigger and stuff. There was
like eight people there, and then six of them got into a knife fight and all got kicked out.
Whoa.
That's not true. That's not true.
But it's true now.
I heard that story once.
Verbally true.
That happened to somebody else, and I think that's hilarious.
Oh, my God.
I noticed you have an NWK autograph tattoo.
I do.
Hell yeah.
Oh.
That's not really a question. It's more so like, I like that.
You know what? I'm a big fan of his. I'm not afraid to admit it. I met him. He's the only guy I've met famous who was bigger than me. You know, tall as shit. 6'3", I think. Yeah. He was buff.
I don't remember how many times I met him now. But he's always been a sweet guy.
Yeah, he's
and
super
the show
cool.
is always awesome.
Yeah, dude, he
unless
yeah.
he's DJing.
We
and I could do without that, but
we interviewed him for Neckbreaker, and I'm thinking, all right, we'll get like maybe 20 minutes. He's a busy fucking dude, you know? He's like, yeah, you want to do like an hour and a half, 2 hours? I'm like, that's such an Andrew WK response. He's so goddamn nice and friendly.
Yeah,
and John, remember we met him once at that venue in Mansfield? He was just talking with Chris and for like an hour and a half, just hanging out. Such
he gave
a nice
Chris
guy.
A sip of his protein shake.
there you go.
Which is super creepy, now that I think about it, that he said even would ask.
Right. The our show, as you maybe just know, is we're half heavy metal, half pro wrestling. Could be old school pro wrestling, new school pro wrestling. Are you guys wrestling fans at all?
When there's not Monday Night Football, I watch Monday Night Raw because that's all I have on TV.
You might get along with these two. You might get along with John and Chris.
We like wrestling and we still do the same thing.
I'm going to be honest with you guys. I used to love wrestling when WCW was still on, but after that, and I even tried going back to WCW. It just doesn't hold up the same anymore. You know.
Yep.
I was a big Goldberg fan, you know, and Sting.
Oh, yeah.
Those my boys.
Yeah, it really doesn't... It's changed. It's gone through changes. And you mentioned Paige like 2 minutes ago. So I know
the love of my life. Holy shit.
You are definitely
someone. Hashtag Chupas.
Yeah, right on.
I'm a DDP fan too.
So when the word pro wrestling comes to mind, what's the first thing that comes to your head? You already mentioned Goldberg.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Yeah, two words, The Rock. That's it.
I like to think of myself as a younger, more overweight Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
But better looking,
obviously, yeah.
I mean, I can attest to that. I'm right across the table from you.
I think of myself as a more alive Louis Spicoli.
you guys based out of St. Louis, so you made the drive up. That's probably a few hours at least. I don't really know
three
the
or four.
Area.
Yeah, three or four.
So you're obviously in a van a lot. You're playing West Texas. What albums are in your van right now? When you guys are just on the road?
I was listening to some Omnium Gatherum on the way down. I had heard a bunch of people talk about them, never checked them out. Grabbed their last two records and listened to those. They were pretty badass. New Hate Eternal, New Cattle Decap.
New Cattle is awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking ridiculous.
Real fucking good. Well, we got a couple questions left before the next band jumps on and we get all background noise. Do you have any advice to give new bands starting out in 2015?
Practice, man.
Don't be an asshole to anybody. Yeah. Don't burn any bridges. I think one of the organizers of this fest said just that. Just don't burn any bridges. Just be cool to everybody. Yeah. And
know you're good, but don't be egotistical about it. Yeah. Either, you know, you got to be confident. Otherwise, people aren't going to give a shit about you.
John and Chris, you have any questions you'd like to throw in before our next band jumps on? Doing okay?
I'm not really prepared. I'm not going to lie.
I know. We're throwing you off. I understand. I didn't say anything. I was waiting for you to finish talking.
Did you guys stay with Ramon and Jess when you guys played West?
No,
we
stayed at the
hotel,
some hotel there in Amarillo.
It was a hotel and it was sold out by nothing but bands. Craziest party, man.
Ridiculous.
Third floor was destroyed.
I think we stayed one night with them and then we stayed at that hotel. Yeah. A ton of people there.
Nice.
What's coming up for the band? We'll wrap it up here. You guys got more shows coming up, new EPs, new shit like
we
that?
We have a tour in October,
yeah, we're
actually.
Touring Southeast in October. New EP early next year. Kingdom Venom Part 2. And then if anybody, any labels want to sign us and put us on the road longer, please do.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. Your websites, your Facebook, you want to plug that? Your, what are your websites and all that stuff?
Well, Zymora is an easy name, so facebook.com/Zymora, bandcamp.com/Zymora.
That's with an X, right?
Yeah.
With an X. Instagram.com/Zymora. Yeah.
That's pretty easy. That's pretty easy to remember.
Just Google Zymora. You'll find us.
So you're a band / freelance photographers.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Guys, we're going to drink some more beers. The next band's on. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers.
Thanks.
All right, the episode is wrapped, and now you're asking yourself, what's next? Besides downloading more episodes of your favorite podcast, you should hit up some shows. But where do you get your tickets?
Just Google Click a Ticket. Search their site for some awesome event seats, add them to your cart, and don't forget to enter the promo code NECKBREAKER at checkout for an exclusive 5% discount.
Once again, Google Click a Ticket, add some tickets to your cart, and enter NECKBREAKER for your 5% discount. Your support is greatly appreciated.